Welcome to the WP Builds Podcast, bringing you the latest news from the WordPress community. Now, welcome your hosts, David Wormsley and Nathan Wrigley.
Hello there, and welcome once again to the WP Builds Podcast. You have reached episode number 365, entitled No Script Show Episode 6, What's the Big Deal with Container Queries? It was published on Thursday the 21st of March, 2024. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and a few bits of housekeeping just before we begin. If you're interested in what we're doing on WP Builds, make sure to keep up to date by heading to our subscribe page, wpbuilds.com/subscribe. Go there, sign up for our emails so that we can keep in touch with you when we produce new content. Typically, that's a podcast episode like you're listening to now on a Thursday, but also the This Week in WordPress show, which we record live on a Monday and then put out as a podcast episode on a Tuesday. If you're interested in that, once more, wpbuilds.com/subscribe. The other thing to mention is that periodically we do things outside of that timetable. You can find out if we're doing anything at our schedule page. That's wpbuilds.com/schedule. And if, like the fine companies that you're about to hear from, you would like to advertise on the WP Builds podcast and get your message out in front of a WordPress-specific audience, head to wpbuilds.com/advertise. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. You can find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. Once more, go.me/WPBuilds. And I'd like to introduce a new sponsor to the podcast this week. It's Weglot. Weglot, the easiest way to translate your WordPress website. The Weglot translation plugin gives you a reliable and easy way to make your WordPress website multilingual in minutes. No coding required and no developer time needed. You can find out more by heading to weglot.com. Once more, weglot.com. And sincere thanks go to both GoDaddy Pro and Weglot. I do mean it. It is very deliberate. It's very intentional. I am incredibly grateful to the companies who step up and keep the lights on over at WP Builds. Right, what have we got for you today? As I said at the top, we are having another No Script Show episode. Back in, it was about November 2023, I discontinued doing WP Builds podcast episodes with David Wormsley, but we decided to start a new podcast called The No Script Show. You can find that at the URL No Script Show. We decided that it would be a nice idea just to give that podcast a bit of a boost and to give the WP Builds audience a bit of an understanding of what we're doing over there. We put several episodes. It's probably going to end up at 8 episodes into the WP Builds feed. So this one is all about container queries. I do hope you like it. We talk about what they are. The whole premise of this new podcast is to shed a light, not on a CMS, but getting back to CSS and the W3C web standards for building our websites. And if you've not been following along, there is this fabulous, well, I want to say new, but it's not particularly new thing that you can do with container queries. So we talk about the significance of container queries in allowing browsers to respond to the container size rather than using viewport width, which we've been using for ages. We talk about the potential of replacing media queries with container queries for a much more granular control over responsive designs, the impact of container queries on component-based design systems and possibly page builders. We also explore some practical applications of CSS container queries when designing websites. And we also consider the implications of using container queries in the context of building web projects. I hope that you enjoy it. If you do, head to wpbuilds.com, search for episode number 365, and please leave us a comment there. Welcome to the No Script Show about modern front-end web design, where we look at what we can build today with minimal dependencies and skills. Today, we're talking about CSS container queries. These mark a serious advancement in what browsers will allow us to do. But we are asking, what does that mean for us right now? And in order to have that conversation, as always, I'm joined by David Walmsley. How are you doing, David?
I'm very good. Yes, and you're back telling me how unfit you're feeling, but
yeah. Well, yes, yeah, indeed. I'm no longer the young, sprightly chap I once was. But anyway, that's apropos of nothing. Let's get on with the show today. So CSS container queries, it's all the rage. As always, David puts together the show notes and I kind of come along for the ride. I'm learning an awful lot as we're producing these shows. And today was no exception because I genuinely didn't know how far the browsers had come. So shall I just pop the screen up and take it from there? I'll just quickly say that everything we're about to show on the screen is available on our website. So if there's any point where you're listening to this or watching on YouTube and you want to know what's going on, the easiest way to find that is to go to the URL. As we're on show number 6, it's dead easy, noscript.show/6. And that will be the same for every episode, number 6, number 7, number 8, or whatever it may be. So here we are. What's the big deal with container queries? Tell us, David.
It's allowed us. Well, we must talk about the leading expert on this. So the person to really get your information from is Miriam Suzanne, who's one of the invited experts on the CSS working group for this. And she's done a lot of content, a lot of talks. So there are some links actually at the bottom of our show notes, which are two that I think are worth watching. But it's a kind of big deal because it's allowed browsers to do something that was considered impossible before because of the nature of browsers, the normal flow, which makes everything responsive by default, could be broken by querying the container size as opposed to what we've had up to this point, which has been just media queries. So if we need it to be responsive and we need things to display differently in our sizes, then we use media queries. Now we've got this opportunity, haven't we, to effectively, we could swap everything to container queries now.
Right. So, am I right in saying that if you were to adopt container queries, in the most part, you can get rid of media queries? There may be some edge cases where one still might be the best case, but in most cases, the endeavor from now, 2024 onwards, is to move away from querying the viewport, you know what I'm talking about, move it all over to container query. So encapsulating little sections instead of the whole viewport.
Well, I would say that we're probably not moving to them. We could, but I would say that we're moving much more to this intrinsic thing where there's a lot more flexibility with the units that we've got to not even need to rely on the media queries. But we got container queries, which you watched it as well, the good talk that Miriam does, which is containers, what do they know? And it's on the 2023 CSS Day. Anyway, there's a link on our show notes to that. And she goes into the history about really since we got at media queries and we started to go responsive, people were instantly asking for a way to be able to change the styles based on the container. And it was considered impossible. It would create loops within loops. And then and she goes through the history of how that breakthrough came.
Could you just pause there for a minute? Because I thought that whole bit about it breaking like more or less everything on the internet, this container query, the loops in particular, do you have a full grasp of why that was? Because this feels like the kind of thing, container queries, it feels like the kind of thing that people have been clamoring for a decade or more. Mm-hmm. But the way that everything's been built so far, there was this genuine concern that if container queries were implemented, then there'd be this whole loop of things which would essentially be recursive and never ending, and it would break almost every website that exists. I don't really understand why that is, but that was a big concern. The browser manufacturers are saying, no, we can't do this. It cannot be done. But now it seems to have been figured out, which is nice.
Yeah, and I've only got Mirian's explanation on it. The breakthrough came, they always thought it was impossible because of normal flow. So inline stuff just goes downwards in the page if there's a narrow viewport and it moves down. And the idea of containing things in there would break stuff. It'd take it out of the loop or have loops within loops. And somebody just came up with the fact that we actually can contain the inline size of something. And then that kind of opened, it broke the ceiling on this. And I really don't understand the technicals of it.
Right.
But we've got it now. Should we just explain what it is exactly?
So yeah, yes, please. Yeah, go.
Yeah, well, there's some, I'm just going to read out actually the things that are in the show notes. So it is a way of being able to apply styles to elements based on the size of that element's container rather than the viewport. It is an alternative to media queries, which can only style the elements based on the viewport width, which I've said. It's a part of the W3C's containment module, which describes contain properties and its units. So we get a whole bunch of units for sizing things.
Right.
So we get CQW for width. We get CQH for height. We get CQI for inline. CQB for block. We get CQ min and CQ max for min max sizing with things. So we get a whole new bunch of units that come with this. And the interesting thing I think about it is it's an evolving spec at the moment because, and although this is only behind, as we record this, a flag in Chrome, there is container style queries, which are due to come. And that is, and this opens up a lot, the ability to style elements based on the container's styles. So this could be a big deal for theming in the future, I think.
Okay. Yeah. You've just put in there that at the moment, 91% as of March 2024 of browsers have support for this. I didn't really look into that in depth, but I'm guessing that 91% encapsulates most of the browsers that most of the people that are using. So Chrome, Firefox, etc., Edge. So that 9% missing percent is fairly redundant. I know that it's 9%, which is actually quite a lot, but you've got an intuition that, broadly speaking, you can move over to this without worrying too much.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can. I think people are. I mean, if you don't need to support IE, and most of the new stuff we've got, it isn't supported by IE and it's going to die out fairly soon. I think some of the issues might be with Safari on some of those can't be updated because they're
right
on the operating system itself. So if you need to support some people going back on old iPhones or stuff, that might be a bit of an issue.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I mean, we should talk about the next thing really, where what we can do with these things.
Yeah. Can I ask before we do that, can I just sort of smuggle in a question which will lead directly onto this? I guess it's not even a question. It's just a description of how it's different. So in the old world where we were using media queries, the only option that we had available to us was the width of the entire viewport. So
yes,
broadly speaking, the width of the browser. So, you know, if it was 1000 pixels and it dropped down to 900, somewhere in between that, let's say 950 or something, you could put a media query and you could change the styling, but it's based on that one feature, the width of the window, for want of a better word, the viewport at that exact moment. This opens up more or less identical functionality, but on a individual part within that viewport. So it could be, I don't know, a card over here and another card next to it and an image, what have you, a paragraph, anything. So we can be more refined. We can, instead of just worrying about the whole thing, we can be more refined and adapt things, make them hide, show, change font size and what have you, based upon the width of that thing within the main viewport. And that's the point of it, right? It's more granular. It gives us a more publisher, you know, like think magazine option.
Absolutely. It does lead to something else. I mean, people are very used to using container as the name for something that will mark up in the HTML2 style. And now we have to think a little bit about that because container now has become its own spec, if you like.
So right.
I think people often used to call wrappers or containers is what we often use to contain something, whereas
treating that with media queries or just normal flow, where so it's one extra element. We might need to change our name in a little bit. Now we have container queries, where container kind of means something else now, I think.
Yeah. And I guess it's important to point out at this point that container is really the right word, because you're using the children of a container to go back up the DOM and look at something outside of it. So, you know, it might be a paragraph, but you're asking the paragraph to look at its container to figure out what it should be. So it's asking questions of its parents, if you like.
Yeah. And presumably you can make any element you want the container for the thing that you're styling. So,
right. Yeah. So you could really get granular. It could go all the way down, couldn't it? Okay, great. Sorry. Yeah. I've interrupted. Carry on.
No, and in some ways, the examples, and you'll probably bring some up on here of how people are using this. The standard example, I think we even talked about this before, is the kind of call out guard. And the MDN records actually has it. If you can pull that up.
Maybe. Yeah, so let me just make sure on the screen, if I got the right one, is it this one you wanted to show at this point, or was it the other one?
It's the other one, I think.
Okay, that one.
Yes, that's it. So there is on the MDN records there, the documents there, there is a nice example, which folks who are watching this will be able to see, where this is a card example where this is where we're still carrying on with components, because now we can change the inline size of a container. We can make the content in that respond to the size that's available to that container. So what we're seeing on the screen here is a card that, when it's got the room, we may have the image over to one side and a title to the right of that with some copy and maybe a button. But if that container then needs to move into a sidebar with less space or another design entirely where it has less space, then it will adapt. So this is adapting where it's got smaller space, so the image is going on the top. On this example, the main body text has disappeared because there isn't the space, so it's just leaving the title and the button. And I think that's probably the... Did I explain that well? I don't know.
Yeah. I guess if you're listening to this and there's no audio, it's exactly as David said. I think the fact that the text disappears is probably the key thing here, isn't it? In that we're quite used to seeing something like this, you know, image left, title right, body right, bottom below, all of that. It's a fairly common layout. And then as it collapses, before the whole layout changes to be entirely vertical, at some point the intuition is now the text is just occupying too much space. We want the image to be occupying the full height of the card. So now the text has taken up too much room. So let's just get rid of the text so that the bottom doesn't look like it's floating in its own space. And it's a fairly simple demonstration, but it works really well. We'll put the links into the show notes. But this
And a couple of similar examples with the same idea is a weather widget where you might have the days of the week where you're so sunny on these days and that. If you've got the space for it, then you're going to show these horizontally. If it needs to go in the sidebar, you would have to create for that sidebar before we got container queries a whole new setup. But here you can take one, style it once and say, make it behave like this if it's in a smaller space, and then it may stack horizontally or lose some of the stuff. And we've seen that as well. And it's used, you know, on some designs where we may have a button that will have text and an icon. And then when it's got less space, it's just got text. And when it's got even less space, it's just got the icon. So we could build those in with a container query rather than a media query and have that place wherever we like in our design. So it's this idea of this modularity where we can kind of bring these things into different designs and create our components out of it.
Yeah, I guess the example that's on the screen, and again, apologies to those people listening, you can imagine that being repeated, I don't know, in a 3x3 grid or something where you've got three of these similar cards next to each other. But then, of course, on a news website, you may want a more or less identical card to keep some attributes on the page. For example, you may want to keep the body text because it's the headline. It's the most important thing on the page. So at the beginning, it looks like everything else, but as you collapse it, it doesn't lose the same features. And because it's a container query rather than a viewport query, it can behave in its own unique way than all the other ones in the main grid, if you like. So the first item could behave differently to the second, third, and fourth, and so on. So yeah.
And you've got tab as well for another example, which again is on MDN by a wonderful Michelle Barker, who's created a good explanation of this. And I don't know if, for those who can see it, that makes a lot of sense. But I think the big deal is if you've got a news site where maybe previously you would have certain news in a sidebar, and if you were using the viewport widths, then you would need to treat that sidebar, would have to move as you lost space. But here, right, what we can do within the sidebar, we can put those in containers and have them independently changed to the content that might be in the main section area. So a new site, it gives you so many different ways that you could treat those individual cards. They could be changing within the sidebar based on the container, not the viewport, and also the main content area could be styling some of those cards independently of that. And I think that's the big deal.
Yeah, it's a pretty profound design, actually. I really like it. I mean, the styling is incredibly basic, just to illustrate what's going on. But again, the links will be in the show notes. But what you're seeing is kind of a little bit what I just described, where you've got this main headline article, which when it's in, let's call it desktop. We're going to have to stop using those terms, aren't we? When it's in the widest possible view, you've got one article occupying like the headline space, and then beneath it, there's two more. And then beneath that, there's four more. And as it collapses, it goes to one main and then two, but the orientation of the ones underneath it change. And then obviously, as you collapse it to what we might describe as a mobile view, everything stacks and looks identical. The only difference is that ones are higher up on the page, but the styling is identical for all of them. So it really offers you an opportunity to make, for those people who've got the space on their screen, to make things stand out. And then where you don't have the space, just to make things look more or less like a list. It's really nice and very profound.
I think with a new site, if I had a sidebar, which isn't really showing on the example we're looking at on the screen here, but I would imagine that if I wanted to keep the sidebar fixed quite small and compared to the main content as it gets smaller, I might just turn these into links and get rid of all of the images independently in the sidebar, allowing more space in the main content area.
Yeah.
So you couldn't do that independently before. So it does allow for that, but I never get...
It's little intuitions like that, isn't it? The more that you explore this and the more that you think about this, the more that these things occur to you, you know, what to do with the sidebar. Oh, I could try that now, as opposed to in the past, it was just, well, that's not possible. Okay. Shall there I take that off the screen, or is there something else?
Take it off we can go back to those. There was one more thing, actually, that I thought was a very cool example of what you could do with it. And that is because you can, with SVGs, it's part of standards as well.
Oh.
You could make that a container and apply some of the sizes, styles to that. So in the example of a logo, it would be possible where you need that to be a rectangular logo laid out in a certain way. Have it when you've got that space, do that, and then have it go to a square with some of the elements in that logo changing or arranging themselves differently according to the space available. And I think that's quite cool.
Just to pick that apart, because an SVG is a document, basically. So it's got component parts. It's not just a flat image of, you know, it's just data, and the browser parses it and figures out how to display that data. This is, it's a document, so it's made up of little bits. And because of that, you can query those little bits. And, you know, a perfect example you just said, you're on a desktop, you've got a main navigation at the top, and you want a flat rectangular letterbox style logo. But as you collapse it, it might be better to just have a centralized square logo. And so you can do that on an SVG level. So you modify the actual image. It's not like you're swapping one image for a different one. You're actually modifying it. You can imagine people getting really granular with that, so that as the browser is collapsed, incrementally, the logo kind of morphs and moves around, and little parts of it, you know, imagine you've got a logo with three circles and they're in a triangle at the beginning and you want them to all be in a horizontal line. You can imagine them sort of being pulled out slowly, like an animation you might see. That's kind of fun. That's a really interesting idea.
Yeah, I've all seen it. Only a very basic example of that on CodePen, but I think, it's something to explore. It might take a lot of time, but the idea of this portable logo that will display the way you want it to display wherever it goes.
But you can imagine tools like Illustrator taking that work on for you, can't you? Where you get an option to have it, you know, in this orientation, and even have that, you know, the animation bit taken care of. So if it's this width, we want that one to eventually end up over there, and the software will figure out the percentages that it's got to work through to get it to
to get to that point in the correct amount of time. Anyway, I'm totally off piece now. I'm but fascinating. Fascinating.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we got excited about it. Should we pour some cold water over all of this?
Who needs them? Okay.
This is quite, you know, the interesting thing for me. I mean, I think I'll put that in the show notes. You may disagree. I think the people who are going to be most interested in this or need to be thinking about it is the people who are doing component-based design systems, which I don't think I'll be investing that time in that particularly. But if you are looking that way, particularly with the idea of style queries and theming, that might go on. So I think those people who are building those systems will probably start to need to think about these things. And also maybe page builders or CSS frameworks, they might change their name, then probably need to start thinking about how they might be able to use this, because I think it is a bit of a, I hate to use the word, game changer. But, you know, I actually think the interesting thing is, from my own personal perspective, I don't know if I would invest that much time in this. I think, I put their little quote in it, it's behind a paywall. This is Hayden Pickering and Andy Bell from everylayout.dev. And I saw that quote, and I think it sums up where I've gone with this. So they say, so what layout problems do container queries solve? The simple answer is any for which an intrinsically sound layout cannot easily be devised. I misread that, but same point. And I thought, yeah, that's where I've gone. To be honest, you know, there's been so much stuff in CSS, so many ways that we can not have to rely on query and stuff. We can build in flexibility with these intrinsic methods that I would put all my efforts into that before I moved into some of this cleverer stuff that we can do with container queries. So that's where I found myself with this.
Yeah, I can imagine that we were looking before we hit record at a variety of UK news websites. So we looked at the BBC and The Guardian. And they, although my intuition or your intuition, I think, was that they're probably not using this at the moment. Yeah. They're probably using, you know, the viewport and media queries and what have you. You can really see how this stuff would map well, but it would require quite a lot of back-end CSS engineering in order to make it work. But once you've set that up, then it'll work beautifully on absolutely every device, and it'll take away a lot of headaches and everything will be really straightforward. But there will be a lot of work to get working. And The websites that you're building, you know, maybe the client doesn't have the budget for that. Maybe the client just doesn't have that much content. It's going to be a much more, you know, header, a hero image, and then a main section. And, you know, and it doesn't really fit into that. All you need to do is kind of collapse the text and collapse the content. Yeah. So it might be a bit of overkill. But if we're after a, sorry, you go.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I mean, Suzanne is almost the perfect person to describe what happens. You can invest a lot of time on the perfect system. She created a framework called Suzy, of which, of course, she says today, please don't use my framework, use the modern CSS. So we've always got that. And it's how much you're going to invest to save some time on your future projects against when that might need to change because you saddled yourself to some kind of framework. And most of the time I'm styling documents, mostly text, and I can get with intrinsic methods. So I can see how this is more important than probably, although I got excited and thought I must need to know this inside out, I've realized that I need to know a lot more about CSS inside out and how I can avoid it. And I think things like every layout, which is a way of simplifying as best as you can using less CSS to give your meet your responsive needs, using the least possible, is the kind of approach that I've decided to go with this. There is one interesting thing, and I don't know if I actually put it on the show notes, I should have done, but there was an interesting tweet that was going out on X, and it was by Una Kravitz. She's a Google person who talks a lot on CSS, really clever person. She was asking, when are you using container queries? And I not even thought about this before. But a couple of people replied, no, because we haven't got responsive images for it. They are still based on the media queries. And I thought, I've not even thought about that. And I thought, yes, it is a bit of a holdup on the moment for that.
Okay. Yeah, that is a bit of a holdup. That's kind of interesting. I didn't think the page builder crowd you can well imagine that there must be quite a lot of talk and excitement in that space about this. I mean, I don't know quite how you would, in a visual way, describe all of the different ways it's going to, you know, collapse when the viewport collapses, because obviously each little part will be different, or how they'd set that up in the UI. But their page builders are always looking for the next interesting thing, aren't they, to set themselves apart from their competitors, and to also just make it so that you can have everything done in a GUI. It does feel like this is a good place for them to go. Yes. We're both from the WordPress space, so we understand, you know, the limitations of some of those different technologies. But describing how that works will be kind of interesting. You know, rather than having a static image to show what that layout will look like, you might need something like, I don't know, an animated WebP image or something like that to show how it will collapse. But I think I'm sure that'll be an area for growth in the future. Throw in grids, yeah. Throw in all of this, and it'll be really interesting.
Absolutely. I think if theming comes with that, with the styles and being able to size things where somebody can grab, and that's, you know, things like WordPress are very much about building these reusable patterns, and the idea that you can just sling them where you like and it will adapt is a real plus. But yeah, that's really, I think, all we can say on this.
Yeah, it's a fascinating new technology, and it's in a browser probably that you're using at the moment, so you can start exploring it. The links, as I said, will be in the show notes. It sounds, David, as if you might be throwing Uma's link in to add it to the ones that we've got at the moment. But all the videos that we described and all of the different things that we raised on the screen will be on the website, noscript.show, and in this case, /6. So, yeah, I think we've done it. That was a nice brief one.
Yeah, but next time, I think we'll be talking. It's about time. We're going to, I think, break from what we intended to do, which was to cover all the new features in CSS and HTML. But I think we need to have a break so we can talk about how we're going to design this website that's already out there.
Yes, which needs a good deal of TLC. Yeah, we keep forgetting to mention that. The website is going to be under David's purview because he's far more clever than I am. And as we go through subjects, David's going to try and implement something of that into the website. So we haven't covered a great deal that can be implemented thus far, but that'll come. And hopefully in the year 2029, the website will look absolutely fabulous.
So I think next time we're going to be talking about, well, how do we start a web project? I know we've already started this one, but that's what we'll discuss in the next one. So I hope people will join us for that.
Great. Right, we're done. We've wrapped up episode 6. We will see you on episode 7. Thanks, David. Nice chatting to you again. Well, I hope that you enjoyed that. Always a pleasure chatting to David Wormsley, who, as you've probably realized by now, is no longer part of the main WP Builds show. But we did think it would be nice to give the No Script show a bit of a boost at its inception. So we're probably going to plug about 8 episodes of that new show into the main WP Builds feed. We're on episode 6, so probably 2 more of those episodes to go. After that, it will be released into the wild, and you'll be able to find it through your podcast player of choice. You can subscribe to that by heading to noscript.show and search for links over there. Meanwhile, if you're into subscribing, head to wpbuilds.com/subscribe, and you can do the same for this podcast. If you've got any comments about what we said on the show, the easiest place at the moment to go is to wpbuilds.com. Search for episode number 365 and leave us a message over there. The WP Builds podcast is brought to you today by GoDaddy Pro. GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with The Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. You can find out more at go.me/WPBuilds. Once more, go.me/WPBuilds. And also a new sponsor, which is Weglot. Weglot, the easiest way to translate your WordPress website. The Weglot translation plugin gives you a reliable and easy way to make your WordPress website multilingual in minutes. No coding required and no developer time needed. You can find out more by heading to weglot.com. Once more, weglot.com. I really would like to express my sincere thanks to both GoDaddy Pro, who've been sponsoring us for absolutely ages,
but also to Weglot for jumping on board and helping us keep the lights on over at WP Builds. Okay, that's all I've got for you this week. I really hope that you enjoyed it. Share it as much as you like on your social media platforms. We'd really appreciate that. Feel free to subscribe as well. We'd love that as well. We'll be back next week and it will be an interview episode. But for now, I'm going to fade in some cheesy music and say, stay safe. Have a good week. Bye-bye for now.